It's been good. Good week, hasn't it? Been a blessing to be in church, get preached at and sing and sense the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. If you will, this morning, we're going to look at a number of things. Start out, let's go to 2 Corinthians. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is just going to be a springboard for me, and then I'll be looking at some other stuff. Excuse me. But let's bow our heads for a word of prayer as we get started. Father, God, just thank you for the victory we have in you. Lord God, that we don't have to worry about going to hell. Those of us that are born again, Lord God, one of these days we're going to have reunions. It's going to be a great time up there in heaven. Lord God, thank you for the future that you've given us. While we're in this body, while we're on this earth, Lord God, help us to do right. Help us to please thee. Father, help me this morning. I pray, God, that you would just help me to go over these things, Lord God. I pray that you bless. I am nothing. And Lord, I just pray, God, that you minister to hearts and just give people some light. And I just pray that you'd bless this study in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. Last night, Sister Shelby came over and they're fighting colds just like I am. And others, I heard some coughs. But she had a box of Cody's, you know, those cough drops. And on the box it says homeopathic. And she said, did you know about this? And we said, yeah, that's, you know, homeopathic. And I'm not right. started thinking about that. I had some information I've been kind of gathering for a second edition of Defiled. And I kind of augment some of the things that I've said. And I thought, well, you know what, let me see if I can't throw it together. So if this is like a dump truck today, I'm just going to unload it and, you know, you can sort it out. But we'll see how it goes. But you know, you say homeopathic medicine is wrong, people go, what? You know, and so sometimes it can't be just a simple explanation, although I do have a simple explanation for that now. But I'm going to go over homeopathy, what it is, and why it's wrong, and why you need to stay away from it. And homeopathy is the number two used medicine program, whatever, in the world. In the world. It's the second most popular. I'm not sure the first, unless it's acupuncture. But it's number two most used medical system in the world. And it looks scientific. It does. I mean, you got these little round balls and, you know, they have all these big scientific sounding names and all these things. And that looks like they say, oh, we have, you know, scientifically controlled experiments and all that stuff. And that's not the case. And so I want to go over this, but look at 2 Corinthians and, verse 16. Bible says, what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Alright, now the Spirit of God dwells in you. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Luke chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the sight of God. And when you get into alternative medicines, energy medicines, homeopathy, you're going to find out that they're spiritual medicine. It's not physical. But and they say, we'll have some quotes, they say it's spiritual. They don't say it's physical. And but let me explain to you how homeopathy works. And in homeopathy, they say it's natural. It's not natural. There's no way it's natural. And homeopathic medicine is supernatural. It's not natural. And in homeopathic medicine, they will take, let's say, a plant. I'll just use that. And they will put it in alcohol or something, and they will extract things, get a mother tincture from a plant or, you know, whatever they want to use. And I get this mother tincture after a certain number of days of soaking it and all that thing. And it'll take one drop or a certain measured amount of that. and they would put it in, like if it was a drop, they would put it in a bottle with 100 drops of water or alcohol. It's got to be neutral. And then they would take that, and they would put it in there, and then they would shake it. And they have to accentuate the downward stroke. So they're actually going like this. And they'll do that for about 50 shakes. They say, oh, this is real scientific. And then they have to bang it on a hard surface. Carpet won't work. Gotta be wood, gotta be cement, something like that. And then they gotta do it 50 times. This is how they make homeopathic medicine. Then that's one drop to 100. Then they'll take one drop out of that. It's already been diluted 100 times. But they'll take one drop out of that, and they'll get another bottle of 100, and they'll put one drop from that one that's already been super diluted, they'll put it in the second bottle. And they're going to shake it, accentuating the downward stroke. And then they're going to bang it. And that's called potentization, and the banging, they're going to bust that bottle. The banging is called succussing. All these big words. And they're just shaking it and banging it, and that's how you make homeopathic medicine. Now, they would do that over and over and over to the point that when you take something, and let's say it says it's arnica, there is no arnica in it. None whatsoever. And they say there is not one molecule of the original substance in that homeopathic medicine. You say, well, how does it work? Well, homeopathic medicine is generally milk and sugar. That's all it is. There's no arnica. There's no belladonna. There's no, whatever, hawthorn and all that stuff. There's none of that in there. It's the physical presence is gone. And so, right off the bat, you're not operating on a physical plane in homeopathic medicine. You're in a different plane. In homeopathic products, some of the products, Highlands teething tablets. You know how the metal Highlands things? You look on the box, it's all homeopathic. It's all homeopathic. Cordies. I saw a new one the other day. It's called Tag Away. You got the skin tabs or something like that. And it says Tab Away or Tag Away or something like that. And they said this is a homeopathic product. And more they're coming out with stuff you see in advertisements around for homeopathic medicine. And they say, but it works, but it works, but it works. Well, so? I mean, the Bible says, go to 2 Corinthians 11. And in verse 13, they say, it works, I got well, it must have been God. Well, didn't the Lord tell Paul, no, I'm not going to heal you? Look at 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostle Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end should be according to works. And so, Satan will come along and very suddenly do good just to suck people in and think, oh, this is good, this is right. You know, how many do-gooders in the world are under the influence of the devil? Religions and all kinds of people. So just because it works, that's no thing. You better remember what the book says. Now, I take your Bibles, go to 2 Kings. And we're not thinking about this one day. And 2 Kings 21. And there's still a lot more work that I have to do. But 2 Kings 21. And 2 Kings 21. Let's start. This is about Manasseh. 2 Kings 21:1, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. You know what? Manasseh had a good father. Hezekiah loved God. Now I understand, the 12 years or whatever that, 15 years or 12, that Hezekiah, God said, I'll give you. 15, okay. And so Hezekiah is born during that time, but nevertheless, Manasseh was born during that time. Hezekiah loved the Lord, but Manasseh grows up and he didn't love God. He rebels against God. And it says Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. And look at verse 5. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through the fire and observed times. There's astrology. And used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Now, if I was to ask you, what's enchantments? Now, I know this from the Word of God. Those things make God mad. Those things God does not appreciate. And when I think about that, I thought, what's an enchantment? I don't know what an enchantment is. I'm not like studying all this stuff, but if it's in the book and God's against it, I want to know what it is so I can avoid it. And so that's studying some things on enchantments and tying it in. But Webster's 1913 dictionary says to charm by sorcery is enchantment. To act on by enchantment, to get control of by magical words and rites. And an enchantment, to enchant something, is to gain control of it or to put power in it for a specific job. And as I was looking over this stuff on the internet, you take World of Warcraft and a lot of these warrior games and stuff. There was people on there going, how do I enchant my sword? How do I enchant my weapons? How do I enchant this and that? And they've given them all these rituals and stuff. Said, well, it's just a game. It's just a game. It may be a game, but what they're teaching them is how to do witchcraft. You take the kids reading Harry Potter with those wands and casting spells and all that stuff. That's all enchantments, what that thing is. And to enchant an item, now, ladies, don't you go researching this stuff. If your husband wants to and feels like you should, amen. But ladies, don't get into it. You'll get messed up. And this is from Pagan Pathway. It's a witchcraft website. And he says, item enchantment isn't how it works in video games and movies. The object won't glow, and it won't change physically. Yeah, but the method's the same. But its energy will change to what you need. You enchant something for your purpose, and that thing changes for what you want it to do. When you enchant an item, what happens is it takes a portion of energy. This is from How to Enchant an Object by J. Carr, 2004. This is from Clan of the Dragon. To enchant, I know this is wicked stuff. But young people this stuff's all over the place. This is just the real thing. The Bible believers, there's a facade on it that looks so good, and they get sucked in. It's the same thing. To enchant an object, this is from Clan of the Dragon. These are people that they get personal dragons to go with them, and friendly to dragons. And anyway, to enchant an object is to fill it with energy for a specific purpose. That's what they said. Now, Webster said to get control of an object. This here, to infuse it with energy for a specific purpose. What it all basically boils down to is direct, programmed energy that has been gathered and shaped by the will of the magician through deliberate visualization. In other words, I'm going to fill this thing with energy, and you visualize that thing. They do that with key. They'll boil water. They'll look at something, hold it, and I'm getting off track. But they'll visualize it and they'll focus key and let paper towels start smoking. That's all enchantments. And then in the Bible, go to Exodus 7. You're talking about this stuff, say, oh, come on, it's amazing how well the devil has deceived people. Even God's people. our enchantments are in the Bible. In the work, look at Exodus 7, and you have stories as the magicians, Jannes and Jambres, with Moses and Aaron before Pharaoh. And Exodus 7, and hold on here, 7:11. Oh, yeah. Verse 11. Exodus 7, verse 11. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also do in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Our God is the Most High. Amen. We have the true God. He's got the true power. Amen. But what I want you to notice, they used enchantments, and those enchantments worked. That's the point. And so you get doing certain medicines and things, say, but it worked, but it worked. Oh, God healed me. God didn't heal you nothing. It's a mess. Look at chapter 8, verse 7. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and they brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Witchcraft is very real. Enchantments are very real. And they work. They're in the Bible. You want to stay away from them. You want a clean spirit. You want a clean body. You want a clean temple. And Manasseh used enchantments, and it made God mad. It provoked the Lord to anger. And that's when people are trying to direct energy or direct power into something, you're dealing with enchantments. If it's outside of Jesus Christ and outside of that book. But homeopathy now, that's just kind of a beginning. But homeopathy is enchantments. When they're taking that thing and they're banging that thing, and every time they dilute it, it gets stronger. They have an object that's been infused with power for a specific purpose. You with me? Homeopathy is enchantments. According to what the witchcraft websites say, and even Webster, I mean, it's gaining power over an object to use that thing for a certain way, and so you got all these homeopathic doctors here, try this, and they say that there's no physical presence anywhere in that medicine, then it has to be spiritual. It could be no other. And you say, well, why are you saying this? Because I know people in the ministry that prescribe this stuff. I haven't gotten to the point where, you know, we'll start naming names. But one of the directors of a large mission board in Georgia, his wife is a homeopathic doctor. And before we realized what was wrong, she tried to treat me for my voice, and here, take this, and all this stuff, and do all that stuff. Think she's got a ministry for the Lord. She has no ministry for the Lord. She's been used by the devil. Amen, amen, amen. You say, what's that? A Bible-believing, soul-winning, missionary-minded Baptist, and she's the doctor of the church. By the way, the church is not the greatest of shape. It's going down. I know a pastor up north, years ago when he would let me come in and preach, didn't do that anymore, because I took a stand against that stuff, but he had his little medicine chest of all these homeopathic medicines, and oh, if you want a booze, here's some Arnica, and he would give it out and play the doctor there, and spiritually, things aren't real good over there. They're not good. And of course, Galatians 5, witchcraft is a work of the flesh. And I know I've gone over that, so I don't want to reiterate some of that stuff. But homeopathy, the explanation is more intricate, and so I thought, well, let's do it, because it is around the book Codies. And it's just very subtle out there, and it's just, here, take this, take that. Oh, it helped me. And so you got to be very very careful. The Bible says be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is roaring around and walks about seeking whom he may devour. But at the risk of being boring, I'm going to read you some stuff, all right? This is from a medical doctor who is also a homeopathic doctor. This is a full medical doctor, not somebody that studied for a year and a half and got their degree in naturopathy. And they do that stuff. But this full medical doctor, this article was published in the Journal of the American Institute of Homeopathy. Sounds so scientific. And he says here, these are just quotes, George Vithuklas, that's one of their heroes in homeopathy. Health is freedom, this is the definition of health. And he says here, health is freedom, freedom from pain in the physical body, having attained a state of well-being, freedom from passion on the emotional level, having as a result a dynamic state of serenity and calm and freedom from selfishness in the mental sphere, having as a result total unification with truth. Capital T. You get rid of this stuff and realize it's religion. Just like acupuncture is. And it's to become one with this power, one with the divine, one with the truth. How does it start out? Oh, let me needle that and I'll take away your pain. Oh, you take this little medicine and it'll help you. It start out like that. The final result is paganism, and really at the root of all this stuff is pantheism. It's vitalistic in the teaching that they believe the vital force permeates the universe. You know, Star Wars and all that stuff. And we just gotta get unified with the force, unified with the vital life force and all that stuff, and you'll be healthy. And sickness is when you're out of balance with the vital life force. That's what they believe. In other words, this is from the doctor, Dr. Paul Bahder, B-A-H-D-E-R. In other words, health in homeopathy, in its highest aspect, is understood as a process of opening up to the spiritual. I remember that lady up there in Pennsylvania. She said, well, you know, it works on some people, it doesn't work on others. I guess some people open up easier. So as a process of opening up to the spiritual, that is super mental realm, in even greater submission to it and toward eventual unification with it. That's how they claim they get healthy. You know what that, if you believe that, you know what that would mean? If you're sick, you're not right with God. You ever hear anybody say that? My. That's charismatic stuff. Isn't that something? Homeopathy understands that man cannot be reduced to the sum of its parts, in other words, down to the physical thing, and attempts to express this insight by recognizing that we should focus on the level of vital force. There's your key. And that only by coming into harmony with this higher level of being can man be healthy and fulfilled. This difference in seeing the function of homeopathy as something other than elimination of symptoms. In other words, all these Western doctors, allopathic medicine. Oh, this is horrible and it's wrong. And they're just dealing with symptoms and on and on and on. And boy, they're preaching against that stuff. That stuff's dealing with your body. That's in the physical realm. This stuff's in the spiritual realm. It's off pace. You're out of balance from that book. And it says the difference in seeing the function of homeopathy, elimination of symptoms, often makes people think that a homeopathy is spiritual, and in this sense, it certainly is. So if you're using a homeopathic medicine, you're using spirit medicine. The vital force is spirit. You say, oh no, it's just energy. It's just electricity. No, it's not. Oh no, it's not. It's energy, but it's a spirit. In the state of health, the spirit-like vital force. This is what this doctor says. Hahnemann in the Organon. Now, that's his big writing, volumes of writing on homeopathy. Samuel Hahnemann was the founder of it. Over and over he says the spirit-like vital force, spirit-like vital force. It's spirit. We're dealing with spirits. There have to be. There's no physical entity in the medicine. In a state of health, the spirit-like vital force animating the material human organism. Now, you take that stuff, it animates you, your body. Reigns in supreme sovereignty. They say, you submit to the vital force and let it run you. It's sovereign over your body. No, Jesus Christ is supposed to be sovereign over your body. Jesus Christ is supposed to be first in everything. This stuff is blasphemy. It's against that book. You say, oh, McDonald, he flipped out. Now I'm just researching of what the book says and what that says. It's not right. Bunch of Bible believers messed up. In such context, homeopathy approaches spirituality. The level of understanding of the homeopath, his unconditional love for the patient. Wow, that is the kind of doctor you want, isn't it? Unconditional love. That's what, how he describes a homeopathic doctor. The unconditional love for the patient. Well, you're going to do it for free. the level of understanding, unconditional love of the patient, sitting across from him, the attained degree of stillness, there's your passiveness, and a submission to the unknown. And that's capital U on that. The unknown is an entity. It's unknown. Just like Tao. Tao in Chinese medicine is unknown. They don't know what it is. Yin and Yang came out from Tao, but they don't know what Tao is. And Paul says over there in Acts, he says, I saw this inscription to the unknown God. That's China, Tao, they don't know. That's here in homeopathy, the unknown. That's Islam, Allah, the God, but they don't know what it is. I'm glad I know my God and my God knows me, amen. My God's the Lord Jesus Christ. I know all about Him from that book. We don't have to live in confusion and unknown. Oh, I don't know. I do know, thank God. But they're dealing with submission to the unknown. It's a religion. Come on. This is still that doctor. I got another doctor here. Homeopathy is spiritual. This, of course, does not dispense with the need for excellence of knowing Materia Medica, that's their medical book and all that stuff. As long as we are working within the realm of homeopathic healing, thorough knowledge of the tools of homeopathy is a prerequisite. But good tools do not make for good results. In other words, you can study their books and not be a good healer in that system. Something more is necessary, and our master teacher have stressed this point over and over. Vasilis Gagas, one of George Vitukas, these are Greeks, premier students and a wonderful teacher himself, has repeatedly reminded us the first remedy is love. Well, they're trying to be religious, aren't they? Doesn't that Bible say God is love? Now, here's another doctor. This is in Oregon. This is Douglas Faulkner. He founded the Polaris Institute. This guy, I mean, he was an ER doctor. I mean, he's operated. I mean, this guy knows medicine. And then he ends up a homeopathic doctor. Knowledge is no substitute for a heart. This is what he says. This is from PolarisInstitute.com, if you want to look it up. Homeopathy is spiritual medicine, not physical medicine. That's what he said right there. He said homeopathy is spiritual. Effective homeopaths are highly trained healers who are experts in examining and defining the spiritual disturbances in those who are ill. I'm getting ahead of myself. The master homeopath approaches all cases of illness and disease from a spiritual perspective. So a homeopathic doctor, they're not dealing with your body. They're dealing with spirit. That's spiritual medicine. You get dealing with that stuff, it's going to mess you up. It's going to quench the Spirit of God. Galatians 5, you're going to get a wrong spirit. You're going to be messed up. You're going to wonder, well, why is things going wrong? And what's this? But I'm healthy. Well, not really. That just give it time. By careful inquiry and observation, the well-trained homeopath endeavors to discern the nature of the spiritual disturbances impacting the patient. What results is the strengthening of the vital force, which can now flow more freely again. You want to get filled with the devil? Then just use homeopathy. It'll free up the vital force, which is spirit. It's an unclean spirit. It'll free it up to move freely in your body. That's what he says. That's a medical doctor, for those of you that want, you know, science and all that stuff. This stuff isn't scientific. Through the vehicle of applying the correct homeopathic remedy, I can help enable individuals to manifest their true nature. I don't want my true nature manifested. My true nature is real ugly. You know that? They don't look at it that way. So your true nature is beautiful. And it just needs to be brought out. They are 180 degrees out from that book. True nature and highest goals in life by helping to rebalance and realign the spirit or life force. He says, I'm dealing with the spirit, and it's got to be balanced. And whether it's homeopathy, whether it's Chinese yin and yang, balance your yin and yang, all that stuff. This is balance, balance, balance. We've got to balance. Listen, best thing you can do is be filled with the Spirit of God. There's no balance to it. Well, I want half my spirit and half the Spirit of God. Or I want, you know, the Lord to control half of me and I'll control the other half. No! You're to mortify the old man and you're to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you're not to balance nothing. You let the Lord run you. Balance. Here, over and over. Balance, balance, balance. It's a mess, man. Now, get this. Now, I know I'm reading a lot. Please bear with me. But you got to realize that stuff is killing churches. That stuff is killing people. I mean, as an evangelist, as somebody that sees it, studied it, and you're seeing people hurting, you're trying to warn them, and they get mad at you. That's to be expected. I mean, Ezekiel, I mean, he's preaching. The Lord says, I've made your forehead harder than theirs. You know, you're going to be bumping heads, man. That's what's going to happen. But you try to warn them. Why? Because you love them. I like seeing people getting messed up and going down and submitting to unclean spirits and all kinds of junk. Even if it seems outlandish, it is precisely what homeopathy is about. If you have any doubt, consider these facts about our remedies. All homeopathic remedies come from a material substances found in nature, from herbs to minerals to animal products. Yet, before they are packaged, all remedies are manufactured in such a way. Dilute it, bang it. They are manufactured in such a way as to dilute out any trace of material substance. There is no laboratory process or instrument known to man that can detect anything of material value in any properly manufactured homeopathic remedy, period. That's his quote. He said, there's no device when you examine proper homeopathic medicine that's going to find anything physical in there. You got no business using that stuff. Ultimately, the only active principle in any homeopathic remedy that you might investigate is a kind of spiritual force, not a substance. That's a founder of an institute in Oregon that teaches homeopathy and practices on people around the world. It's on his website. It's spiritual medicine, and it will mess you up. In other words, the active ingredient, if you will, in homeopathic remedies is nothing at all except some spiritual force. You better not mess with that stuff. That's just, Jim, this is just homeopathy. I mean, you get all that energy medicine, all that. No, I'm not against vitamins. I'm not against food. I'm not against, you know, herbs. I mean, keep that thing in a physical realm, although you better be very careful. Because just as, I mean, think about this now. Just think about this. Out in, where we're headed next, going to Phoenix, there's a church out there. It's got Navajo Indians. And the Begays, his dad was a preacher, Bible-believing preacher on the Navajo Reservation. Matter of fact, still is. And he said, when we were growing up, we'd go to school. My dad told us if somebody gives you anything, a rock, a feather, anything, he said, do not bring it home. Do not. He said, why would he say that? You see, Japheth's got a time. Japheth tries to figure out Shem. That's where you make your mistake. Must be a scientific explanation. No, science, real science, dwells in the physical realm, and Japheth has a hard time accepting the metaphysical. And those Indians from Shem, no, you bring something home, you bring something with it. Just get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. And you take that homeopathic medicine, it's been enchanted, there's a spirit in it, there's a force in it, and you bring that stuff home, you'll mess up your home, you'll mess up your body, you'll be messed up. And yet Japheth, oh, come on, oh, you're crazy, awesome. You're not, go ahead. Go ahead, you want to get messed up yourself. But I'm telling you, the way I've read already, that stuff's against that book. And it's against my Savior. All for the sake of, well, I want to be healthy, I want to be healthy, I want to be healthy. I'm going to get to that in a minute. In brief, the homeopath is indeed a doctor of the spirit or vital force, not the body. So here's a preacher's wife. And she's ministering to people with homeopathic products. What is she? She's deceived. You know, she's got a website. I went to that website. She's got recommended reading. And I went to the books. That says Vital Life Force, Vital Life Force, Vital Life Force. She's got one book recommended on herbs. And the author, I thought, let me pull up his name. He's written a bunch of books. And he's got books on tarot. He's got books on astrology, using herbs for astrology and herbs for tarot. You better be careful. I mean, just as those Indians said, don't bring it home, you better make sure, if you're using herbs, you better make sure those herbs haven't been enchanted. See what do you mean? I mean, ordering herbs from China, India. Say, oh, we'll make them powerful, that way we can sell more. And we'll enchant them. You better be careful. I mean, in the classical sense of the word, no, I'm not against herbs, but I'll tell you, you'd better be careful. By the way, herbs in the Bible, study it. It's corn, barley, wheat, and rye. It's not roots. Amen. You better go by that book. Because our remedies are spiritual, if homeopaths are honest, we cannot claim to treat or address any specific symptom, condition, or diagnosis directly. In essence, we use our remedies to remove disturbances on the spiritual level alone. That doctor knows he's trying to free up a spirit that's in their body. What are you doing? You're getting filled with an unclean spirit. We are able to do this due to the spiritual properties of the homeopathic remedy. It's spirit medicine. When disturbances to the spirit or vital force are removed by the remedy, the body begins to heal spontaneously of itself, restoring order, balance, and harmony naturally. There's no way it's natural. It's metaphysical. It's cultic. As this process unfolds, symptoms usually improve. It is that simple. That's a medical doctor turned homeopath in Oregon. His name's Faulkner. And he's got an institute out there, as we said, says spiritual. Now, kind of interesting, I'm fighting a cold. If I believe that stuff, I'd say, oh, I must be backslidden. I got to rearrange with the vital force and all that stuff. Man, that just, can you imagine that? I mean, every time you get sick, oh no, I must not be right with God. I mean, man, go to 2 Corinthians. We'll look at a few things and I'll close. This stuff's all, well, it's not all throughout, but man, as America gets away from the Bible, Eastern religions and Eastern mysticism's coming in. Homeopathy learned much of what it knows from the American Indians. That's documented. You know, and witch doctors shaking things, dancing around the fire. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. Well, verse 7, I know you know this these verses. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. You know what Paul just said? Let me just kind of say it this way. Because I was so spiritual, God gave me a lot of revelations, right? God gave me a lot. Then God made me sick. Amen. Above me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Keep me humble. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, and it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul's sick. Go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4:19. Wait a minute. 20, that's it, yeah. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. There's people in the Bible that are sick. And are the good people trying to do right. Look at 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 23. 1 Timothy 5:23. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Now, Timothy, that's a minister. That's a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had infirmities often. And just because you're sick, that doesn't mean you're backslidden. But and these are lost. These people writing this stuff, they're lost. You know, they sound like charismatics. All stuff. Oh, you know, there's a disturbance in the force. There's a disturbance in your vital force, in your spirit. We've got to correct that. You got to become one with the unknown and on and on and on. That stuff is against the Word of God, folks. And it's out there. I mean, as Norton's found out, here's a cough drop. Coldies. Rush, you know, advertises, get coldies, you know, it takes it away and all that stuff. And just, you know, it's just a cough drop, no big deal. Man, it'll suck you in. Oh, homeopathic, all that work real good. Maybe I'll go to one of those doctors. Oh, that's good. And there you go. There you go. Just subtle. Be careful. But homeopathy is it's satanic. It is not good. And Bible believers out there that are messing around with it. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a prayer. Father, I just pray best and last. And Lord God, help us be sober. Help us be vigilant. We've got a lot of stuff going on. Just real subtle. Slick. There's Bible believers that are messing with key and demonstrating key and manipulating key and working on all this junk, and they're just messed up. And God, I just pray that we'd go by the Word of God, and when something contradicts that book, that we would shun it and we'd heed what the Word of God says. Father, I pray you bless the lesson, bless the service to follow. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, open your Bibles real quick to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Now, what he's talking to you about there, the stuff that he's bringing up, is what's called in the Bible witchcraft. Okay, what does God call witchcraft? It's an abomination. See, there's certain things in the Bible that are sin, but there's other things God calls an abomination. Abomination is something God doesn't want to be anywhere around. Idolatry, witchcraft, bestiality, homosexuality, sodomy, those are abominations to God. God doesn't want to be anywhere around that stuff. Amen? When you start inviting witchcraft into a church, into your body. These are all what we call the houses of God, the temples of God. Into your own home. See? Notice there in Deuteronomy 7, the last verse, verse 26, neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house. Those Indians he's talking about, they got that book. They understood that stuff right away. They saw it just like that. Oh yeah. We know what you're talking about. It's the dumb Europeans that don't get it. And they're bringing that stuff in the churches. They're bringing that information in the Christian bookstores.
Yes.
Where it's getting into Christian homes. And you need to be aware of it. Now, the Bible says be simple.
Right. Right.
Amen. Concerning that which is evil. You don't need to go in and do great in-depth studies on all this stuff. Yes. Don't let it get your curiosity. And you just want to find... You heard everything you need to know.
Right.
All you need to know is, man, I'm staying away from that stuff. And I'm keeping that stuff out of my home, and we're going to keep it out of the churches, and that's just the way it needs to be. Now, this is how it goes, brethren. This is what's been going on. I want you to just take a little trip with me down memory lane for just a second, if you would, back in the 50s and early 60s. There's old Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra. And they're out there saying, no, no, that's crossing the line. That's crossing the line. The stuff he's doing, the nightclub singing, that's crossing the line. We ain't going there. See? Well, after a while, they moved that line. It's nothing. It's elevator music. So you just move the line a little bit, and here comes a fellow, old Elvis the Pelvis. He comes on the scene. When he first comes on, they won't even show him from the waist down. But he starts bringing in that moving and that jiving and shucking and twisting and all that, and after a while they say, no, we got to get rid of that. We can't allow that kind of stuff right there. That's crossing the line. After a while, they just move that line. Then here comes the Beatles in the British invasion. I want to hold your hand. We can't tolerate that. We are not going to put up with that. I want to hold your hand. Now, Christians, before they're married, they hold hands, and it's no big deal. Where have we come? We just continued to move the line, and move the line, and move the line, to now, abominations are accepted in churches. Now, that's what you call apostasy. That's what you call a falling away. And that's where we're at. Amen. Now it's yes, it's witchcraft, it's magic. We understand, but it's a cute mouse.
Yeah.
With a wand.
Yeah.
It's harmless. And yeah, okay, yeah, she's playing a witch, but she's a good witch. And it's okay. And then it's Harry Potter, but he's a nice fella. He's a good old chap, and he means well, and he's standing for good. And all you've done now is you've educated an entire generation.
Yes.
Coming up with a knowledge and an understanding of, they're no longer simple concerning that stuff which is evil. Now they're curious about it. Now they want to know more about it. Do you realize what's happened to England? Talk to Brother Dickens, some of his missionaries over in England. What's happened the last 40 years over there? How they've gone from, at one time, what was a Christian nation to now where it is witchcraft and paganism is the number one religion once again. You know what will happen here eventually? Same thing. See? Homosexuality. Abomination! No, now it's accepted. It's normal. It's good. What's happened? A falling away. Amen. There's just another part of it. Just another part of it. Just a falling away. We need to be aware of it. What's the devil trying to do? He's trying to get in. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers. Amen. And he's going to try and get away in any way he can. He tried with that charismatic movement, trying to get that spirit in the churches. Now he's doing it through this stuff here. The other way he's going to do it is through this new teaching going on now, where you just have that still small voice. And what you need to do is just go in the closet, empty your mind, which isn't hard for a lot of Christians these days, unfortunately. Empty your mind and let, just wait for that still small voice to begin to speak and lead you, and you better watch out.
Amen.
All of it is just spiritual attacks. Just some way the devil looking to get in. Amen. You got to realize that. You got to keep your guard up. You got to stay in the book. Amen. Stay in church. All right. Father, thank you for the message. Pray now, God, you'd bless our services today. God be with the singing and the service to follow. Brother McGahee, as he preaches and brings forth the word of God this morning. God, give him liberty. Bring people in, Lord, honestly, seriously desiring and seeking for the truth. Have your way in our hearts in the service today. Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.